William Morrow and Harper Audio present Fault Lines by Emily Itami, performed by Lydia Wilson.
Chapter 1. The whole Kiyoshi situation started a long time before he was ever in the picture. The way a calligraphy painting begins before the first black stroke makes it onto the page. Begins when the painter collects together scroll and brushes and grinds up the pigment. Or even before that, when he, or she, and yet, in this country, it's almost invariably he, has an idea in his head of what to paint. So, the scene was already set, the pigment crushed, the painterly hand poised. All of which suggests that it was inevitable, that Kiyoshi himself was almost irrelevant, that he could have been anyone, that I, like a pre-fluffed adult performer, was waiting indiscriminately for whoever came along. There's a part of me that believes it could only have been Kiyoshi, that if it hadn't been him, everything in my life would have continued as it was and any diversion from the path would have been effortlessly resisted. And then there are the times when I'm trying to forget about the whole sorry mess, laughing at myself so it hurts a little less, when I believe it was my own weakness that stacked the whole house of cards to start with, and it had nothing to do with Kiyoshi at all. Wasn't Romeo madly in love with Rosalind 4 days before he killed himself for Juliet? What's in a name? The boy was a raging bag of hormones set to obsess over whichever new bile young creature came into his line of sight. Does anyone need to get hung up on which one it was? But it's the ultimate love story. It's destiny and fate and love greater than life. What is love anyway? What is love? What is love? What is love? What is love? Huh? Ha, 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 ha. Aki has a mode he goes into where you can practically watch the hormones go into overdrive for a minute or two, where he lolls his tongue out and shakes his head from side to side and runs around the room as if he's got fleas, behaving exactly like a dog on heat. I've seen his daddy do the same thing, which is difficult to imagine when you see him reigning magnificent and still from the splendor of his enormous desk in his enormous office. Maybe it's contagious, something you catch from your husband and your son. Because recently I've been feeling that a lot. The urge to run around like a dog chasing its tail, asking myself stupid questions and trying to shake them out of my head. Trying to shake them out of my head because, as an advert on the Tokyo Metro reminded me the other day, life's what you make it. It was advertising a washing powder that can make you float in a white shift dress across a blue sky. Or possibly it was an advert for anti-constipation medicine or life insurance. It's hard to tell. I'm always at my most open-minded, not to say emotionally susceptible, on the metro. It's the lurking possibility of death by earthquake that does it. It doesn't make me feel any calmer that the Nambuku line is the deepest in Tokyo. I have no idea whether this makes it more or less likely that in the event of an earthquake all the walls would cave in, and have never been able to get a clear answer about it out of anyone. I realise that to be a die-hard inhabitant of this city, you're expected to smile demurely in the face of the almighty fault line that runs straight through it and place complete trust in whatever dinky gates we've come up with to protect ourselves. But there's this unshakable image of a 10-meter tsunami wall being totaled by a wave that flashes through my mind every time I'm hurtling through an underground tunnel in a metal tin. Anyway, in this fragile state, the constipation washing powder advertisement struck a nerve. I sat bolt upright like an antelope startled by an unexpected rustle in the bush, or someone who thinks she might have just been groped, and formulated the well-worn thought, this time with unique clarity, that my life is wonderful. And that I really need to get my shit together, stop ruminating on done and dusted past events, and appreciate it. Maybe do some meditation and volunteering. Read some Daisaku Ikeda, cultivate a bonsai, smile more. Stop being such a quintessential Tokyoite, yo-yoing from duty to destination with penitent expression. Falling neatly asleep at every opportunity to show just how put upon I am, and muttering English expletives, in my case, which has nothing to do with being a Tokyoite. I've got it all. Perfect life. Beautiful children, beautiful husband, beautiful apartment. I know it, and I know how lucky I am. I know that any kind of winter...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?